Matthew chapter 5. What a beautiful, what a wonderful, what a powerful name is the name of Jesus. Nothing compares to it. Nothing can stand up to it. Matter of fact, every knee will bow down to that name of Jesus Christ. You have opportunity now to do it in this life. And if you don't do it in this life, you will do it in the life to come, in eternity, and it will be too late then. I pray that you have bowed to the name of Jesus. I have a thought this morning that I want to share with you. Very simple, pretty common. Brother Josh was in the Beatitudes recently and did a great job going through the Beatitudes. In verses 13, 14, and 15, I want to preach just for a little bit on the idea of light. But notice in verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You know, this is considered one of Jesus' greatest sermons, the Beatitude Sermon. At the end of this sermon, you would see, if you would look at the end, you would see that people were amazed when he finished this. They said, "Woo, man, he don't preach like the scribes and the Pharisees. There's something different about the way he teaches." And he had he gave us these Beatitudes, Christian character. And then he told us, really sums up those Christian character, those qualities that he gives us up in the previous verses, with verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. What we are to do with those Christian characteristics that he told us about. Well, he said we're to be salt. You know, salt is a miraculous substance. Did you know that? You probably don't think about how miraculous salt is when you're salting your pinto beans and your tomatoes and your boiled eggs, right? I mean, you know, we don't think about how miraculous salt is. I was doing a little research. You know, it's made up of two substances. One is hydrochloric. Hydrochlorine is very toxic. You know, it'd burn you up. It'd kill you, matter of fact. But you know, when you add sodium to hydrochloride, you know what it does? It comes out as salt. It's a miraculous substance. I mean, they would pay Roman soldiers with salt. They would fight battles over salt. I mean, it was used to preserve meat before refrigeration. It was used to season. It was used to, as antiseptic. There's so many uses for salt, particularly in this time that Jesus was speaking. And you know, our lives are a little bit like salt. Think about it. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." You know, our lives were a bit toxic before Jesus came in, right? You see, we had a death sentence on us, but add in grace and guess what happens? Out comes a believer in Christ. And he says to that believer, "You are the salt of the earth." And really, that deals with, I guess we could say, that deals with the moral side of life. That's more of the moral side, what's on the outside. But you know what? Then he says to this, in this wonderful sermon, and keep in mind that he's speaking to a ragtag bunch of disciples, fishermen, tax collectors that he gathered together, and he's speaking in a time when, the Greeks had all this knowledge. Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, they had already given all of their teaching from the Greek theology and philosophers and all of this. But Jesus never refers to them. He says to these fishermen, this ragtag group of guys, this very common group of men, he says to them, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." And he's not only saying that to those disciples that sat immediately under the sound of his voice, he's also saying that to you and I today. We are the light of the world. You see, we don't have any light on our own. We have no illumination on our own. But listen, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, here's what happens. God deposits His light in your life. He gives you the light. And then Jesus says, you are the light of the world. None of it's on our own. We live in a dark world. Would you agree with that? I mean, if you watch the news very much, I really don't watch it that much anymore because, I mean, it's always the same thing. They get one story and that's all you hear for about 4 days, you know. I mean, they just pound it, and then they'll go to the next one, pound it. I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous. But if you listen to it long enough, you're going to come away with your head down and just, you know, oh my goodness, this is it, because we live in a dark world. And you know, humanism would tell us that the world is always getting better. That's what they believe. They believe that, you know, we evolved and things have been getting better from the beginning, and it's just going to keep getting better and better and better and better. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that? The proof is in the pudding, don't you think? It's getting worse and worse and worse. Moral slides, ethics are out the window. Dale mentioned this morning in Sunday school class what the one lawyer said, truth is not truth. Everything's relative. Let me tell you something. You and I have truth today in Jesus Christ. Hey, that song the kids sang this morning, I don't know if they were planning on singing that before I said something about the light, but I sure am glad you sung that song with the kids today. Was you planning on that? Hey, you know what? It really went, because this little light of mine is very important. And it's very important that not only children sing that song, but it's very important that adults live that song. That we leave here and we let our light shine. And let me tell you something. I just want to remind you of that today. And perhaps you have not been letting your light shine. When you leave here today, maybe you can get a little ignition in your heart, a little flame going in your life today, and maybe you can leave here with a little bit of a brighter light. Listen, let's look at some elements of the light. I'm gonna be quick about this. I'll preach fast, listen fast, okay? Stay with me. The power of the light. Some elements of light. Number one, the power of the light. Light makes life possible. You cannot have life without light. The first element that God created, you know what it was? He said, let there be light. First thing He made. Because God knew we can't have life if there's no light. And I'm glad that, listen, in Christ we have light and we have life. And so God made light. Secondly, light is associated with right morals. Did you know that? In John 3:19, Jesus speaking, He said, this is condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Light is associated with right morals. You know, so much is done under the cover of darkness. You know, I mean, I used to be lost, and I know a little bit about that, and I know that in dark places sometimes very ungodly things can happen. Now, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, I want to read you a couple of verses. He says this. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We are walking in the light because, listen, I want to be in the light. I don't want to be associated with anything that has to be done in the dark. Do you? All right, light is associated with direction. You know, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, God, the Bible says, led them on the way with a pillar of fire at nighttime. You know why? Because they needed light to see where they were going. Light is associated with right direction. Light is associated with God's presence. God is light. We learned in 1 John 1:5. When He showed up to Moses and called Moses, what did He do it from? He did it from a burning bush, illuminating the light of God. When Paul met Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, what was associated with the appearance of Jesus Christ? The Bible says this, a light so bright that it blinded the apostle Paul, who was then called Saul. You see, God's presence is associated with light. Let me give you this one. I like this. You know, light is associated with intellectual knowledge. Did you know that? You know, there was a period in the 17th and 18th centuries known as, you know what it is, some of you, it's called the Enlightenment period. You know, that was a time in the history of the world where man decided that they could reason things out. And I did a little research on it. It was an intellectual movement, mostly in Europe, but it came here. And it covered ideas of God, reason, nature, and humanity. And they decided that, you know, in this Enlightenment thought, where you it was used with the celebration of reason, the power by which humans understand the universe and improve their own condition. Here were their goals. They wanted to make man have more knowledge, more freedom, and more happiness. That was the goal in their thinking in the Age of Enlightenment. You know what man's reason really came up with? More confusion, and more darkness. Because they couldn't answer three basic questions. Let me give them to you. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Can I tell you today, in my opinion, if you can't answer those three questions, you don't have much enlightenment. Would you agree with that? They could never answer those questions. It was all about humanism, and it was all about reason and trying to use man's technology and all of this. Listen, it's like man gets sucked into a black hole and just keeps believing these lies. Questions so basic in their nature and so important to the existence of humanity, and yet they cannot answer those questions. My friend, listen. Christianity, the Bible, Jesus Christ answers all of those questions. All of them. You say, really, preacher? Yeah, I mean, it takes faith to believe what the Word of God says. It does take a measure of faith, but don't kid yourself that evolution doesn't take faith. Don't kid yourself in believing that humanism isn't just another set of core beliefs that it takes a little bit of faith to believe in. Listen, just a little bit of belief in the Word of God, and every answer that is important in life can be answered. Why? Because Jesus said He is the light. All right, so God loves us. Let me hurry up here. God loves us so much that He wanted us to know the light, wanted us to see the light, wanted us not only see it, but be it. And so He deposited light in three different places. And I've sort of mentioned it, but let me just hit it again. Number one, he put light in this word, right? Remember what Psalm 119:105 says? Remember that verse? Put it to memory if you don't. Write this down. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, listen, the word of God gives us direction in life. The word of God illuminates obstacles in our way. The word of God illuminates untruths out there. The word of God illuminates insufficiencies in my heart. But it also gives the remedy for everyone that it tells us that we're not where we ought to be. The Word of God has the remedy. The Word of God is light. Amen? All right, the second, but listen, here's what I was thinking. Not everyone will read the Bible. If I ask for a show of hands, which I'm not, but if I ask for a show of hands for everyone that read the Bible, and I'm talking about reading more than just, you know, your verse for the week that comes up on your app. I mean, I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying I'm talking about reading the Bible. If I asked for a show of hands, a lot of hands would not go up. Not everybody reads the Bible. So God deposited light in another place. You know who He put it in? Jesus Christ. He's the original light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." John chapter 1 verse 4 said, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." When Jesus came, it was quoted, Isaiah 9:2 was quoted, it said this, "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." You see, Jesus is the light of the world. He said it more than once. And so we have the light in the Word of God, and not everybody reads it. We have the light in the Savior, and not everybody will believe on Him, at least not yet. We hope more will. You know where the third place He deposited the light, and we've already said it, in the saints. He put it in the Scriptures, He put it in the Savior, and He put it in the saints. Listen, do you know that some people, the only Bible that they'll ever read is the Bible you live before them? You believe that? Some people, the only gospel they'll ever hear about, until they get saved perhaps, will be the gospel that you tell them about, that you live before them. The only message they may ever see or hear will be the one in shoe leather that you're walking in front of them, on the job, in your community, in your wherever. You might be the only Bible people ever read. You might be the only light that people will be exposed to. Listen to this. You are writing a gospel chapter each day. By the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men read what you're writing, whether faithless or true. Hey, what is the gospel according to you? What is your life telling people about Christ? Now, in this passage, let me just dissect this real quick. Let's unpack this just for a minute. Because here's what I noticed last night. I was reading this some. And there's two separate lights here is what I see. In verse 15, it says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. That's the first light. And that, I believe, is the individual lights of every believer who has the light of the testimony of Christ, the knowledge of Jesus in their life. We have the individual light. What kind of light are you? What kind of light are you shining? I thought this was kind of humorous, but I think there's some truth to this. Listen to this. I don't always do this, but listen to this. See, some Christians are like Christmas lights, right? Used only one time a year. Woo! Hallelujah! You see, Christmas lights are put up just one time a year, and they're just for show. Don't be that kind of light. Some Christians are like flashing lights, on and off, on and off. You know any Christians like that? In one day and out the next. They're not very consistent. Some Christians are like flashlight Christians. You know what I found? That flashlights are very useful in when you need them, you know, when there's a troubled time, power goes out or something. But here's what I know. Sometimes, boy, you get them old flashlights and they won't come on. You're like, shake them up a little bit and hit it, and they'll come on again. Sometimes some Christians are like that. They don't turn on until they get shook up a little bit. They get brighter when they get shook up. Some Christians are like candlelight Christians. The wind blows them out. The wind of adversity will blow out their light so easily. Then there's dirty lights. They've lost their effectiveness and influence because the things of the world are dimming their light. Spotlight Christians. You know what these kind of Christians are? They're always focusing on the shortcomings of others, pointing out where everybody else is coming up short. Well, let me tell you what kind of lights we need to be. We need to be reflective lights. We need to be like the moon, which reflects the light of the sun. We need to be just like that. We need to reflect the light of the S-O-N. We need to let Him shine through us. We need to be, I like this one, beacons. Now, and I wanted Brother Ralph to sing Lighthouse this morning, but he wasn't up to it, so he's going to sing at another time. But, you know, that song, think about it, a lighthouse shows us the way from the shore over the rocks of sin. We ought to be soul winners. We ought to care about those we come in contact with who do not know the Lord. Beacon lights, warning those in danger who are traveling. That's the first kind of light. What kind of light are you? Are you a reflective light, a beacon light showing others the way to Christ? Second kind of light. Now look at this. In verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. You know what I believe that is? I believe that's the church. And here's what I know, that all the individual lights, which are us, should I yell wake up when somebody's sleeping? I should, right? Wake up. All the little individual lights come together and we make up the city. We make up the collective light of the church of the living God. Hey, I'm glad for the church, aren't you? I'm glad for the local church. My prayer is that Unity Free Will Baptist Church will be a city set on a hill, the hill of Middleburg Heights around the community, where I have prayed many times that when people drive by this church, that they look at this building and they see some aura around it that intrigues them, and they say, man, I want to go see what's going on inside that church. May we be lights to those who are in darkness, travelers along the way. I'm glad for the church. Well, notice what he said here. He said, nobody lights a light and puts it under a basket or a bushel. No, you don't do that. I mean, here's what happens when you put a light under a basket. Either the basket will put the light out or the light will burn up the basket, right? One of two things is going to happen. I want to give you just a couple things that put our lights out. All right? Are you with me? Almost done. Number one, worldliness. Are you kidding, preacher? Are you still preaching on that? Yeah, I am. Worldliness. Trying to conform, to just fit in with the world because you don't want to stand out. Man, I'm glad the three Hebrew children didn't want to conform and just blend in with all those other people. Aren't you? They said, you can bow, you can go along with the crowd, but I'm not going to bow, I'm going to stand. Listen, worldliness creeps in individual lives, snuffs out the light, and you know what happens? It begins to bring a shadow on the church when it creeps in the church. Worldliness puts out light. I want to ask you something. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to think about something. How many people in your circle of influence actually know that you're a Christian? How many? How many people where you work actually know that you stand for Christ? How many? How many people in your neighborhood? How many people in your, those folks you come in contact with, if it was brought out that you were a Christian, would they go, man, I didn't know that? People that we are exposed to on a regular basis ought to know where we stand. Now, and I'm going to get, I like what Dale said in the lesson too, and I'm gonna kind of use that here in just a minute. All right, number worldly is put your light out. Number two, fear. Fear will put your light out. You know what fear is? Fear to say anything for Christ. You know, that's what Joseph of Arimathea was experiencing, right? Because you know, he's the guy that went to Pilate and it says he begged for the body of Christ. But you know what the Bible says? And it says it in John 19:38. It says about him, it says he was a disciple, but secretly for fear of the Jews. He didn't want to say too much. Listen, are you with me? Up here. God has not called us to secretly infiltrate the world. God has called us to stand. God has called us not for infiltration, but proclamation. That's what he's called us to do. We're not Secret Service Christians. We're not in the FBI and nobody knows it, you know. We're to let our light shine before men. The enemy of our soul, listen now, the enemy of our soul wants to snuff your light out. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who believe not, in whom the God of this world has hid, blind to their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine on them. That's what he's doing to all those around us. You and I have to be different. You and I have to let our light shine so that people will see Christ in us. All right, fourth and final point. What's the purpose of the light? What's the purpose of the light? Well, he tells us there, he says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, we redid the lights a year ago May. And we didn't redo the lights so that when folks come in, they sit here and go, man, what a nice light. You know, I really like that light. We don't want you to come in and stare at the lights. I can't see now. We want you to come in and look here and say, you know what? Those lights light up everything down here so nice. I can see my pastor better. Woo! I can see up there better. I can see the person on the pew next to me better. That's why a light is put anywhere. It's put on a lampstand, held up, so that whatever it is they want to illuminate can be seen a little better. The purpose of the light of God deposited in us is not for us to be patted on the back and say, you're such a good Christian, you're such a good person. No, the purpose is they may see our behavior that is mimicking Christ's behavior, and they will say, guess what? There is something to being a believer in Christ. There is something to it. What are good works? Let's talk about that, because maybe we're confused about that. What are good works? Well, you know, good works can be the fruits of the Spirit. And let me just kind of interject this, because Dale said it in Sunday school class, and I liked it. And I thought about this. And he said that, you know, defending the faith doesn't mean that we're, you know, shouting it out and pounding people with it. But, you know, we can speak it. But here's what I noticed in this passage. I thought about this. Salt and light, they do what they do pretty quietly. Right? They just are. The salt's put on and it does the job. Light is lit and its influence is made silently. Sometimes you don't have to be articulate. You don't have to have a vast knowledge of the Word of God. All you have to do is live a life that God would be pleased with. You know, the Bible talks about fruit of the Spirit. So important. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's letting our light shine. Forgiving others. Holding your tongue. Treating people with love and respect. Sharing your blessings. Getting involved in the work of the church. Getting involved in work in the community. What can you do? Those are good works. Having a Christ likeness. We don't have to be preachers. We don't all have to be teachers. We don't all have to have a working knowledge of Bible front to back. But we can let our light shine in ways that people will notice. Would you agree with that? I really believe that. They're not vocal. They silently get the job done. Also notice this. Almost done. Then I'm going to close. Well, in a minute. Verse 16, he says, let your light shine. You know what that says to you and I? That word let means that it's up to us. It's our choice. We have to decide that we are going to let our light shine. If you know Jesus, it's in there. If you know Jesus, let it out. Amen? Sometimes, I like what verse 15 said. I said I was going to close in a minute, and I am. It says, this light gives light to all who are in the house. Sometimes that light shining might start in our own homes. Might start with people in our own homes that may not be where they ought to be with Christ. Let your light so shine. Sometimes and oftentimes, I suppose, we let down in our own homes. You know, our wives, our husbands, they see the real us. Let's not let down in our homes. Let's let our light shine before our spouses. Let's let our light shine before those people in our lives, in our families, in our friends, our close proximity. Let's let it start there. Now, who can you show the light? Who can you share? Now that you know the power of the light, the places of the light where God's given it, the kind of light we need to be, how we shouldn't put anything over and hide our light, who can you this week go and shine your light? Who can you this week be an influence? Perhaps somebody in your life right now you can think about and you just tell the Lord, silently, Lord, this week I want to be a light to them. Church, let's go this week. Let's be a light. Father, we love you. We thank you. We're so appreciative, Lord, of your blessings. We're so appreciative of the light that you've given us, the light of the Word, the light of the Savior, and the light of each saint. May we let our light so shine to bring glory to your name, to bring recognition to your name. God, touch our hearts. Ignite a flame in us, Lord, and help us to be ambassadors who will shine the light of Christ this week. In Christ's name we pray.